Welcome, creatures real and unreal, to the Unfair Folk, an unbalanced undertaking to understand mythology. I am your cattle-rustling co-host, Jack.
And I am... cows.
I'm sorry.
you want to try that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm cows.
Do you want... it's nice to meet you, cows.
I stole this name. I'm Cows Sean. My friends call me Sean.
I'm Cows, but my friends call me Sean. So, welcome to the podcast, Sean. You haven't been on here before. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes.
What do you know about Hermes?
Isn't Hermes the, the letter carrier? Isn't he, mail?
Yes. Well, sort of. he is one of the messengers of the gods. There's also Iris. Shout out to her. I actually made a video about her, which is on our YouTube channel if you want to check that out. Hermes is the son of Zeus and Maia. So what do you know about Zeus?
He's icky.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Isn't he I know that he's the god of the gods, you know.
He's the head honcho.
Always having sex with things and always making monstrosities because he had sex with things.
True.
Feels the same way about his kids as my dad feels about me. Where did that come from? I don't want to take responsibility for that.
The real thing too is that it's kind of hard to say how Zeus feels about his kids. There are so many of them. So he definitely has favorites. That's true. He definitely has favorites.
He also have least favorites?
He definitely has least favorites. Yes, for sure. And most of them are not with his wife. So most of the way that he treats them is hiding. Is a lot of hiding. A lot of hiding and lying for the children.
Oh, cool, cool.
Because Hera is a strong, independent woman who Zeus is a little bit afraid of, even though she has directly promised. She made this unbreakable vow never to raise a hand against him after she tried to overthrow him, and he... reacted badly to that, understandably a little bit, but he also strung her up from the stars, so that was rough for her. But she did kind of try to kill him, so you know, nobody's functional in Greek mythology. She can't attack him, but she didn't promise not to attack his side pieces or his children. So Maia was the one of the daughters of the Titan Atlas. Do you know Atlas?
He holds the world, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He holds the sky back from the Earth, or he holds Uranus back from Gaia, or Gaia, which is weird because Uranus is his dad and Gaia is his mom.
Parent energy right there.
That's his punishment because he rebelled against, or he tried to kill the gods, and the gods won. So Zeus stuck him under the sky.
Nice.
Which also prevents Uranus from having any more children with Gaia, which would then, you know, maybe overthrow Zeus again. So it's sort of a double, you know, it takes care of an enemy and prevents more enemies from being born. Zeus isn't stupid, but he is an idiot.
I feel like Zeus is the same kind of stupid as, an orange cat. Lightning strike me now, if that's offensive, but, the sense that they have an instinct to survive. Is that survival strategy, begging for wet food? Maybe. Do they really have thoughts? Not really. You look into their eyes and there's a primal instinct to live, but they don't know how.
It's not even okay, I'm going to make a Breaking Bad reference. Walter White, the main character of Breaking Bad, the titular breaker, I suppose. Is a very intelligent person. That's his whole deal, right? He's good at cooking meth, but he's also just a smart guy. He also makes the stupidest decisions, including cooking meth, because of his hubris. So, like, Zeus is king shit of Shit Mountain. So he just does stuff. And because he's a god, he rarely actually faces consequences or repercussions. And there's never, like, the risk of death for him. So he can just go out and, like, turn ladies into cows and steal, you know, hot boys to be his cupbearer and stuff like that. Because, like, who the fuck is going to stop him? But that doesn't mean that he's...
death as a consequence, though, is worse, you know? Because then you can get stuck holding the sky for all eternity because you can't die.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, it sucks for Atlas, but... it like, same as, like, Cronus. Like, he's chopped up in itty-bitty pieces in Tartarus for eternity. I'm sure that he doesn't want to be immortal anymore, but, like, he doesn't get that choice, right? So Maia was one of the daughters of Atlas, which, again, gross. Zeus sleeps with her, gets her pregnant, because of course he does. Zeus's sperm must be fucking wild, because he never doesn't get someone pregnant. He must have a sperm count, like, through the fucking roof. And it's not all gods.
What we know of.
Yeah, but you usually find out.
Yeah, true.
Yes. Or I don't know, maybe it is a sampling bias, and, like, he's with a lot more people... and just the ones that get pregnant get caught because they're pregnant. I would believe that.
And there's still so many. Maybe that's why, like, we just assume that we know all of them. Yeah. Because, like, God, if these are all the people he's getting pregnant, there's no way he can have room on the side to, like, just have a casual lay.
Because he's also, if you think about it, like, an immortal, he's got a lot of time on his hands, right? It's not like there's a lot of legislative matters he needs to attend to.
Yeah.
So he just has time for sucking and fucking. which brings us to one of his many, 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 many children, Hermes. Now, he was born in a cave on Mount Selene, C-Y-L-L-E-N-E. I don't know if that's Kylene or Selene or Selene or whatever. In Arcadia in southern Greece, it's called Mount Selene, and I'm just going to keep saying Selene because it's, I think it's the best sounding one. It's called Mount Selene.
Selene.
Sure. Because he was nursed by the nymph Selene. They were in a cave because they needed to hide from Hera, probably. I didn't find any direct, like, yeah, they were hiding in a cave from her. Like, so I don't know how hard Hera was looking for them, or if she was. I'm assuming she always kind of has her eyes out. So they are, I guess, laying low, at least as long as Hermes is a baby. Because here's the fun part. Is that this story starts when he's still a baby. Like, baby. I've seen up to toddler, but he's... So remember that throughout this whole story, he is at most 3. We might stretch to 4, but I would say you're not a toddler anymore at 4. So, like...
I would say that you're not a toddler anymore by, like, 3.5.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree. Which is important. It's also important because he's a god, so none of these rules matter, but it is extra funny for reasons we will get into. So
fucking baby wreaking havoc.
Pretty much.
nice.
So his mother, Maia, is asleep. Or, I guess, not paying attention. I don't know, maybe she's doing bong rips in a corner. She's preoccupied. Hermes, who is... anywhere from, because I've also seen versions of this myth where he's like a day old, like this is the day he was born, and I've seen versions of this myth where it's been like a year, and he's sort of an infant, but still, you know, child.
Yeah.
Hermes gets bored, and he decides, as many, you know, children do, to get out of his swaddling clothes and his cradle, which are directly referred to as swaddling clothes and cradle, and go for a stroll. Now, if he were a baby, a human baby, he would not make it that far. Or he would climb off the side of the mountain and no more baby.
Interesting.
But he is Hermes, son of Zeus. So he just sort of starts exploring these mountains. And eventually... he either seeks out specifically the pasture of the gods, or he's sort of drawn to it because it's in his blood and that sort of ethereal, you know, he's a god so he can just do shit sometimes way.
Yeah.
Or he stumbles upon it you know, by accident. I would
babies to begin with can't really, like, you know, get out. I'm thinking if a baby is being swaddled, they're like about 6 months old or something like that. You don't really swaddle babies much after that, I guess, in like a Western sense. You know, but also like the concept of a baby just walking away, going to like explore the mountains is one thing because they're bored. But then also like, it's hard to stumble when you're that fucking close to the ground. Like, what do you
think? Is true.
I get that shit whenever I go ice skating. There's, especially since I've moved to Minnesota, there were kids last year ice skating. I was like skating around, just trying not to biff it. And these kids, like 4 years old, kept getting like so close to me and then hockey stopping. Do you know what I mean by that? Like,
yeah. Turning quickly.
And that pushing, like it would like push snow on me. And I'd be like, bitch, you're 4 years old. Stop getting snow on my pretty little figure skates.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That's sort of, it's considered a dick move too if you do that, but like kids don't know that.
Disrespectful 4 year olds hockey stopping on my figure skates. Anyway, Hermes.
So he meanders out of his cave and finds the pastures of the gods. Now, the first time I heard the story, I heard it as Apollo has some sacred cows. And he keeps them in a pasture somewhere. That's just how he be. Cool, fine, whatever. Like, some people have sacred whatever. Like, Artemis has some sacred deer that you're not supposed to hunt. Athena, you know. Like, some people have their sacred areas. Like, But when I was, you know, refreshing my memory, I found that at this point, apparently, Apollo was the cattle tender of the gods. He was, you know, the herdsman of the gods, and that these were all of the gods' cows. Apollo was just like in charge of them. Again, like how Athena has her owl and Artemis has her stags. Not sure which is which, because also like it's kind of an invention for this myth, because they don't talk about like the gods' cows any other time. Zeus sometimes takes the shape of a cow. There are cows in other myths, but the gods' cows are an invention, I think, for this story in particular. But I don't know, maybe that's just because, like, normally they're not that interesting to talk about. You know, I would imagine that they don't do much other than kind of exist. Yeah, I also don't know their purpose. I don't know if they're milked. I don't know if they're used for meat or what. I know that Apollo is supposed to be looking after them, and I know that Hermes does some stuff with them, but I don't know what their intended purpose was other than, I guess, eating.
You make me nervous with the whole Greek mythology and anyone, like, doing stuff, because my mind immediately goes to heaven. Sex with things they shouldn't be having sex with.
Here's the fun part about this myth. I forgot to say this at the beginning. This is one of the few, I would say, child-friendly Greek myths. Even more so than, like, Persephone's abduction, because... What?
You know, the child-friendly story of kidnap a woman, bring her to hell.
Okay, but I mean, look at Beauty and the Beast. That's a fucking kid's thing, and he basically kidnaps her, right? Like, here's what I mean. Nobody,
I never watched Beauty and the Beast.
It's, well, you know the basic story. I mean, like, she's held prisoner, right?
I thought that I knew the basic story of Little Red Riding Hood. You told me otherwise.
At the end of this, remind me about that, because I want you to give a brief synopsis of the books to see if anyone who listens knows them, so if we can track them, because I'm actually very interested about that. So listen to the end if you want to know more about that.
You want to hear Sean's shit story about fairy tales that no one else knows?
It's
a version of fairy tales no one else knows.
Yeah, a lost version of Little Red Riding Hood that exists only in your aunt's house. So nobody dies in this. Well, nobody important dies in this. Some guy may or may not get turned to stone. We'll talk about that later. There's no fucking, there's no incest, there's no, like, yeah. So there's no mutilation, it's one of the few Greek myths that you don't have to heavily edit in order to tell it to children. Like, you can, like, here's the thing. I'm still going to cuss and probably make a lot of, like, bad jokes because this is not a child-friendly podcast, but, like, this story is child-friendly, I would say. So he finds this pasture. That's another thing. I don't know if it was, like, a big open field, if it was a hidden glen, like, Entangled, how they had that sort of, like, cave entrance to that weird circle area where the tower was. I don't know if you've seen Tangled, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or what? I've also alternately heard it described as a cave. So just another cave with a bunch of cows in it. at least 50? I don't know if you can keep cows in a cave. I actually think you can, because I've heard stories of, like, in some areas of the world, they keep their animals in caves because it's, like, temperature-wise better for them, because it's a little
that's what cooler. I thought the movie Brokeback Mountain was about. Remember?
Oh, my God. I don't think there are caves in Brokeback Mountain. It's just a mountain.
It wasn't until, like, recently, like, this year, that I learned that that's not what Brokeback Mountain is.
Was it a comedy? It wasn't until this year
that I realized that Brokeback Mountain was, like, a gay lover movie or some shit. I still am not sure exactly what Brokeback Mountain is about. I just know that what I thought Brokeback Mountain was not it.
You constantly, like, fascinate me with your descriptions of media that I can't comprehend. So the cows might have been in a cave. They might have been in a pasture. The pasture might have been in a cave. I don't know. It doesn't say that. It seems like no one was watching the cattle. Again, supposedly Apollo was in charge of them, but, like, he also did other stuff. Not that he was necessarily had to do other stuff, but just that, you know, he wasn't going to sit around and watch cows all day. So it seems like they were just sort of left to their own devices, maybe most of the time. Because when Hermes finds these cows, so there's at least 50 cows, maybe more. Hermes takes 50. Sometimes that's all the cows. Like, there's 50 cows and that's how many he takes. Sometimes there's more than that and he just takes 50 out of the herd. I don't know which is worse or if, like, either is worse. But it's always, and I don't know if 50 is significant. It's a lot of cows to steal. He's not taking one is the point also. And it's also important because, like, Apollo has to know how many are missing. Like, he has to recognize that there's a certain amount missing, and when he... Yeah, we'll get to that. 50 is important, remember that. And if you had to steal a cow, if you had to steal 50 cows, how would you do it? And you didn't want to get caught.
Oh, you're asking you're asking someone from Nebraska to talk about, like, how they would steal a cow?
Yes.
Or cows?
Yes.
A
fellow rural person. You are probably more knowledgeable about rural life and like farm life than I am, because I know it secondhand. You've lived the corn.
How quickly do I have to steal these cows?
There isn't necessarily a time limit, but you also, like, you're in the same situation. You know that these are the gods' cows. You know that, you know, they could kind of show up at any moment. You are also sort of a god, and can handle yourself. You're also a baby. You're still a baby.
I am a baby.
You okay, are a baby. Cool. That's actually important too, because you can't just, like, grab them and pick them up. Like, you are a baby.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm baby. I would find the source of food for the cows if they are just grazing in a pasture, then it's pretty easy to get a cow's attention because, like, you know, they're only seeing really, like, they move based off where their mouth takes them.
Right.
And so if I could get, like, a bundle of grass or something, you know, something that has the cow's interest, I would find the biggest cow in the place. And kind of the same thing that your parents tell you, like, if you ever wind up in jail, like, find the baddest looking bitch there and, like,
stand around. Did you just say what your parents tell you?
Yeah.
Your parents sit you down and say, look, if you ever go to jail, you gotta find the baddest motherfucker in that place and kill him.
Okay, maybe not the average parent, but my dad did tell me that if I ever found myself in the jail, find the baddest bitch, like, find the baddest ass bitch looking there, sock him straight in the face, show who you are. Anyways, but so I'd find what I
Sean, would hey, wait, Sean, oh. don't do that. You know that that's bad advice, right? Like, actually, yeah, in real life.
I think it's, yeah, no, that's not good advice.
It's not good advice.
Unless I'm strong enough to take the person.
If, and even then, if you are a very large guy and you beat the shit out of someone and be like, this is my house now, you just painted the biggest fucking target on your back, saying like, please come try to stab me in the shower, because I'm now the new biggest and scariest guy. Like, I would rather be someone's bottom bitch and have them deal with people trying to attack me. I'll suck dick in for exchange for safety. Absolutely. I'll suck dick in exchange for a Tic Tac. I don't care. What the It's prison. I don't give a shit. Anyways. I told you it wasn't going to be kid friendly.
So so what I would do is, if you get control of a cow's food, so you have control of the cow. It's also important to note that you don't want to be behind a cow, because if they get spooked or angry or something like that and they kick back, you don't want to get kicked. Right. It's important in this story that I mentioned that I do a mobility aid. I use a cane. I would use the cane almost like a, what is it called? Like a shepherd's like hook or whatever, you know? A shepherd's cane. Actually, I think it is just called shepherd's cane, because candy canes come from. Anyways, I would use my cane as almost like a hook, to like kind of tug along at the cow's back leg, because that like motivates them of like, okay, I'm moving now. It's better than to like to just start off not kicking, you know. Mm-hmm. A cow would much rather just step away from, like, cows are very much a step away kind of animal. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna fight really unless you really piss them off. No. But I don't want to take that chance, so either way, I'm just gonna let this cow like just mosey, you know. Yeah. I'm moseying with this cow. We're moseying together. But you get leader cow going in that direction, in the direction you want to take them, and then circle back to the back of the pack and kind of like get the caboose cow, if you will, mm-hmm. To also follow. Because then it's like a big game of follow the leader.
Okay. I'm gonna introduce a wrinkle. The dirt or wherever you are, is very conducive to footprints. So you are trying not to get caught, right? And if you just sort of lead the cows out of wherever this is and to wherever you're taking them, which, spoiler alert, it's another cave. I told you there's a lot of caves. You will be very easily followed. There are some parts of the path that are like sandy and not conducive to hoofprints or footprints, but like a lot of parts of where you're trying to go are gonna like point a red arrow to where you're going.
Yeah. What's the goal of Hermes here? Is it still just because he's bored, or yes. Is he like, okay, just because he's bored?
Pretty
because
much.
If that's the case, I would like climb on top of this cow and like lead them, you know, try and lead them.
Okay.
And I wouldn't leave my footprints, because worst case scenario, Apollo comes back and is like, my cow's wandered away by their own stupid will.
Well, let's say that there's some sort of gate. So there isn't a way that these cows could just like dip, right? Like someone would have to take them. And the cow tracks are, yes, still an issue. But you're thinking like Hermes now, because he figures that he needs to disguise his footprints at the very least, right? At like first things first, I don't want to be able to be traced back here. And he, again, still a baby. So like sort of distinct footprints in the sense they're very small. So he can't just be like, it wasn't me. It's like a Cinderella situation where she had like the tiniest feet ever or whatever. So like the slipper could only fit her, except with this, he's a baby. So like any shoes that fit him aren't going to fit anybody else. And there aren't a lot of babies around that could do this. So he can't even like point to the guy next to him and be like, well, he's also a size 8.5. So maybe it was him. Like, no, you're a baby. You're a size -1. Like those are baby feet.
That's also like, you're a baby. Where are your parents?
Well, his mother's asleep in a cave right now, and his dad is probably fucking somebody else.
This cow thievery That's on the mom, I believe, you know, or like.
No, I'm going to say it's Zeus because, like, genetically.
But how responsible can a baby be for its actions when it is a baby? Again, not sure about the rules with gods and shit,
yeah.
But I got nieces and nephews, like, the.
Well, I would also say that, like, when you start, if you can steal cow, if you have the ability to steal 50 cows, you are responsible for your own actions, regardless of age. So he decides to disguise his own feet by making a pair of shoes. In some versions of this too, like, he already had on a pair of sandals. I don't think that tracks, because I'm pretty sure in ancient Greece they weren't making, like, baby Adidas, you know? So
yeah, mom had this child strapped on the sandals and then went to go bong rip.
Yeah, went to go do bong rips in the corner. He makes these, like, snowshoe type things, right? So they're a lot bigger than his feet, but he shapes them so that they look like large human feet. I don't know if they just look like large shoes or if he like crafted individual toes. I'm imagining it would be easier to just kind of make like a large shoe. So he puts these shoes on backwards.
Interesting.
So that when he's leading the cows, look like he's walking backwards. Now the second.
What if he just walked backwards with the cows?
Well, in some of the myths, he does just walk backwards with the cows. But I'm assuming that, like, if you can put on a pair of shoes that make it look like you're walking backwards while you're walking forwards, it would, that, like, so you can see where you're leading the cows, might be ideal. So his part two of this ingenious plan is to make it look like the cows are walking backwards. How would you accomplish that? Because, I mean, if you had to make cows walk backwards as well, because it's, you know, you can't make 50 pairs of fake cow shoes necessarily. So you are trying to make it look like instead of leading all the cows out somewhere else, someone led them in. Because as soon as you get to, like, an area where there isn't, you know, mud or whatever, where footprints aren't available, like, it's easier to lose the trail or confuse people if the prints are going in the wrong direction. This doesn't totally track, because, like, there still is a start and end to the prints, whether you follow them forwards or backwards, you know? Like, you can follow a footprints either way. But the way that it was explained in some of the more detailed myths is that, like, he made them walk backwards to be confusing and then also, like, led them over sand to hide where they ended up. So
I would get those cows to side strife the entire way.
I think that would be extraordinarily difficult.
This whole myth is extraordinarily difficult.
Sure, but like,
how the fuck are you getting cows anywhere? There's a reason why people use cow trailers.
They used to not be able to, though. That's why cattle herder was a job. You know, I think it's a lot harder to get them to walk backwards than forwards.
I think making them walk backwards might in some ways be a little bit easier, because then you can become big and scary and you can, like, come at the cow.
They'll just turn around, though. That's what I'm saying.
They're going to back up. Cows back up.
Sure, but eventually they are going to just turn around. Like, they're prey animals. They don't back up. They turn and walk. In some versions of the myth, he grabs them by the tail and makes them walk backwards, which I think is even less realistic, because there's 50 of them, so I don't think he's making 50 trips, and he isn't one of the 100 armed ones, so he can't grab 50 cows at once. In one version of the myth, which is, and bear with me here, because this is actually the version that I believe the most, he pulls the hooves off the cow's feet and reattaches them backwards. So, reminder, he is a god. He could technically, I guess, do that.
So, like, hooves are like fingernails.
Yes, yeah, I would say, yeah. And also in the sense that, like, there are parts
I believe
of the
that hoof version, because, like, that leaves a lot more up to, like, he was a god, he can do what he wants, versus, like, something that almost sounds plausible, like, you know.
Yeah. How, regardless of however he attaches the hooves or pulls on who knows, he gets these 50 cows out of the pasture, out of the cave, down the hill, across the river, blah, 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 you know, over the woods, whatever, and into another cave. He just finds another cave. He is either naked or in his swaddling clothes.
Like, he got out of his swaddling clothes. You said that.
He did. He got, but like, I don't know if he wrapped his blanket around him before he did this or what, but he is still a baby and just sort of, you know, nude. So imagine you're like hanging out in your vineyard. I say vineyard specifically because we're about to meet a guy who runs a vineyard and tending to your grapes, smoking a pipe. I don't know, whatever Grecians did, complain about, you know, Zeus, but not too loudly. And you see a bunch of cows that kind of look a little weird. You can't quite put your finger on what's weird about them, but they look kind of a little funky. And they're walking down the, you know, mountain path or whatever. And then Esther, you see the person leading them is just a nude baby with giant shoes on.
Baby.
Like, I don't know how I would react to that, but I also am not living in a myth in ancient Greece, so like
I would think I had indulged on my own product a little too heavily.
Yeah, you know, honestly, there was some old Grecian wine that was supposed to like fuck you up, so maybe the dude was just day drinking and being like, oh man, this batch is raunchy. Or like alternatively, this is also in a universe where like the gods sort of interacted with people a lot more. So if I saw like a nude baby leading a bunch of cows, my first thought would probably be like, oh no, this is a magic shit and I don't want to be a part of it. I would probably just turn around and leave. This old man named Battus, spelled as it sounds, or Batus, but I'm not saying Batus because that kind of sounds like masturbate to me. So I'm saying Battus. So he sees this, and Hermes, like, his whole goal was to not be spotted, because now there's a witness, and much like when you are committing any other crime, witnesses are not ideal. Like, the less people that see you and can identify you, especially since this was before ski masks, you know, the better.
Who's gonna believe a drunkard that says he saw a big-footed baby leading cows?
Here's the thing. True. Yes, true.
But also there are missing cows nearby, so yes. Plausible.
Yeah. And also, like, the people that are going to be looking for them are the gods, and that means that, like, they know... Like, Apollo might not know Hermes exists. Zeus does, though, and Apollo knows Zeus. So if Apollo goes to Zeus and is like, I talked to this guy and he said he saw a baby stealing my cows, Zeus might be like, oh no, is it my baby? Because I have a baby. It sounds, and it's definitely not a human baby, so it might be one of mine.
Yeah.
And so Hermes sort of goes up to Battus and is like, hey, what will it take for you to not remember seeing? You know, like, Hermes is a smooth talker, sort of a, again, I'm going to fucking make another Breaking Bad reference. He's a Saul Goodman type, right? Like, he may not be, how do I say this? He's not the person you want representing you towards, like, maybe the person you like. Like, if you wanted Hermes to go up and talk to the girl you liked, right? That might not be the best thing to put him towards, because he's more likely to, like, steal your girl. But if you are in deep shit, Hermes might be able to talk you out of it. He's like a diet Loki character, and I don't, that's sort of insulting to him, because he is his own individual, and, like, Loki has his own stuff, but it is similar in the sense that they are both silver-tongued. But they are all both very mischievous. So it's never like, I'm good at talking my way out of situations, and I never get into them. It's always like, I'm good at talking myself out of situations, which is good, because I'm always getting into them. So he's like, you know, slides into this guy's DMs, and says, what will it take for you to, you know, have never seen me? And the old man sort of, like, measures him up, and I think as soon as a baby starts negotiating with you, you're like, this isn't a human. So, okay, like, for sure this isn't a human. So, yeah. Badass is like, well, I sure could use a good harvest and a lot of wine. You know, the usual. And Hermes is like, all right, I promise that if you don't tell anyone that you saw me, your crops will flourish, your skin will clear, you know, your wife will love you again, whatever. Like, I, you know, he makes some promises, greases some palms, and goes on his way. Before he gets to the cave, brief intermission, he comes across the river Alpheus, and he stops by the river, I guess, you know, gives the cows some water to drink, and then decides he's going to sacrifice two of them. Context. It is not good to take things from the gods, period. Regardless of who you are. Especially not if you're immortal, because then you can be zapped very easily. Even if you are, like, Hermes is technically, he's not technically a god yet, or he's not one of the Theoi, one of the Olympians, but he is, like, immortal. His mother is a nymph and his father is a god, so he is immortal. So he has less to worry about. That being said, he is still very much stealing from the gods. And he's stealing their sacred cattle.
Yeah.
So that's like, again, I'm not quite sure about the purpose of these cattle, but if they were just for like food or for sacrifices, because the gods eat like nectar and ambrosia, but the sacrifice of human food or meat or animals is what like flavors their nectar and ambrosia. That's why they like sacrifices, because when you burn the meat, the smoke like wafts up to Olympus and it makes their food taste better, I guess. I don't know. So he, there are also another small tangent. There are supposedly 12 Olympians. There's technically 13. Here's the secret. But also there's like 9. So there was the original children of Rhea and Kronos that were swallowed by Kronos. And then others came later. Like Athena was born out of Zeus's head. Apollo and Artemis were born out of Zeus's nuts.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, they were his children. They were born from a person, but they did, you know, sex happens. Here's the problem, is that original gods and then shit just kept on getting added in. And then, like, depending on who you talk to is who considers the main gods, you know, depending on who they consider to be the main gods. So Zeus, Poseidon, and Ares, Jesus Christ, Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades will always be named as, you know, like the big three, right? That's forever. Hera is always Zeus's wife, unfortunately, also his sister. Ares is always there. Aphrodite is sometimes not considered, is usually not considered part of the main 12 because she was added into the pantheon later after she was born out of the ocean. Dionysus is a child of Zeus, so he was added later. Demeter is there. She's one of the original ones. Hephaestus is a child of Zeus. He was added later. Athena is a child of Zeus. She was added later. Hermes is a child of Zeus. He was added later. Persephone is a child of Demeter and maybe Zeus. She was added later. And Artemis and Apollo are both children of Zeus. And, there are 12 thrones on Olympus, and eventually they were all full. Everybody was there. And then, like, Dionysus rolled up and was like, hey, I want a throne. I'm a child of Zeus. I demand a throne. Sometimes it was Dionysus. Sometimes it was Hermes. Sometimes it was Hephaestus. But, like, someone rolls up and is like, I want a throne. And it is my right. And then everybody starts arguing because there are only 12 thrones. And if one person gives up their throne, it will unbalance, like, the dynamic they had. Because at that point, too, they had, like, 6 men and 6 women. So nobody wanted to, like, upset that balance. And eventually what Hestia did, because she's the motherfucking OG, was, like, she stood up and was like, look, this is all bullshit. We're all gods. Having thrones doesn't change that. So what I'm going to do is get a chair or a stool or whatever and put it by the hearth because that's my domain. Yeah, she's like, that's my area. Already, I already tend to it. I don't even sit in this chair much. Like, it's fine. And whoever wants my seat can take it. But even then, like, some of the other women were a little annoyed with this, because then technically there were 7 men with thrones and only 6 women with thrones. But, like, Hestia still has her chair. So the reason I say that is because I think Hermes was made a god before Dionysus was made a god. I could be wrong about that. That being said, there is anywhere between 9 and 12 Olympians at any given time. So the version of the myth that we are going with is that, like, Hermes was the last to the party. So there are already 11 gods. And in those stories too, like, in some versions of it, Hermes doesn't have a throne. He's just, like, bopping around. In other versions, Persephone doesn't have a throne too. So, like, who has a throne on Olympus sometimes matters and sometimes doesn't. Hermes divides the cow meat into 12 piles, and he sacrifices each pile to a different god. And, you know, depending on... In this version of the story, there are only 11 Olympian gods. And in that version of the story, too, there would this would be after Dionysus came in. So there would have been 5 men, 5 women, and Hestia. But again, I'm bad if I can't count. So he sacrifices the meat to the 11 Olympians. And then the 12th pile, he sacrifices to himself. Symbolically, because symbols have power too. Like, there is still an element of, like, magic to it. It's not just flavoring the food. There is, you know,
sacrifices do. Yeah, no, for sure. I just think it's funny the fucking nerve of this baby to kill these cows and then also be like, I deserve this too.
So after after he makes his sacrifices, he burns the, like, leftovers too, instead of just leaving, like, the, you know, the hooves, the tail, the head, the stuff that you wouldn't normally, because, like, you wouldn't want to sacrifice dog shit to the Olympians, right? You wouldn't want to sacrifice something that is yucky. So you take the yucky, and there are parts of the animal that are pretty yucky. So you wouldn't want to burn those, because then it would, like, get mixed up with the, you know, one bad apple ruins the bunch. So he burns those separately to just make sure that there's no trace. And then he still has some leftover stuff, right? He has some, like, cow guts left over. Again, stuff that may not necessarily be edible or the most delicious part. And he decides that he wants to make something. He gets the idea for an invention. So he takes a tortoise shell. Don't think about how he gets it. And he sort of stretches these, like, cow guts over it and takes these two sticks or some horns. Sometimes it's horns from the cows. And he fastens those to it, however the fuck you fasten it. I don't know, can you make glue from cows? I know you can make glue from horses. You can probably make glue from cows. So he uses that. You can make
glue from cows, yeah.
He's very responsible. He uses every part of the cow, and he makes a lyre, which is that little, like, sort of harp-looking type deal. Yeah, it's L-Y-R-E. It's pronounced lyre. I always thought it was lyre. No, it's just pronounced lyre. I think that's very confusing because it sounds like, you know, lyre, but... whatever, it's pronounced lyre. And he plucks it a little bit, he tunes it up, which also, pretty badass to invent a musical instrument.
Yeah, that's kind of wicked.
Again, still a baby. And so he has this lyre now, and he finishes his trek now with 48, how much is 12 minus 50? 50 minus 12.
38,
there you go. can't do math. He finishes his trek with 38 cows and hides them in this cave and then takes off his shoes, right, and, like, returns back to his own cave, hides the lyre somewhere. Under his mom's bong, behind the black light poster in the corner. And he gets back into his cradle and he wraps himself back up again and he pretends to go to sleep. His mom wakes up from her, you know, edible crash or whatever, and immediately knows something is wrong. Whether that is mother instincts or because Hermes wasn't as good as covering his track, like, maybe she, like, sees his feet are covered in mud and straw or something like that, or she finds the lyre or something. She knows.
I wouldn't put that on Mother's intuition, because why the fuck would it be kicking in now?
Well, I mean, she was asleep supposedly before, so it's hard to be intuitive when you're asleep. You're just kind of asleep. But it could also be because she's a nymph, and she has like some special abilities as a nymph, so maybe she had a vision in her dreams and she woke up and knew some shit. He's like fake snoring so loudly that she is just like, what have you been? Yeah, it's literally just and she's like, dude, what did you do? Because she never knows what he did. She never guesses correctly, which to her credit would be very hard to do. But she... Oh, fuck, I almost forgot. Wait, we're going back. I didn't say any of that. Never mind. So he burns... He makes the lyre. He burns blah, 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 blah. Then he starts thinking about Battis, the guy he made the deal with, because he's not sure he can trust him. And he's wondering how he can, like, know for sure, because you don't want to just... be like, well, I guess we've got to. I guess I've got to. Like, he's trying to pull off the Ocean's 11, the Hermes 50, Hermes 38.
Makes an ass out of you and me and these 38 cows.
Oh, also, it's fully still just 48, because he only sacrificed 2 cows. He just divided them up into 12 piles. I have dyscalculia. Numbers don't make sense to me. That's my excuse.
What's yours? I misheard you. And then
I fully led you astray. Yeah, that's on me. But yeah, no, he only sacrificed 2 cows, so he has 48. And he disguises... Here's the fun part. He disguises himself. Now, if he could have done that from the beginning, my question is, why didn't he, when he was leading the cows somewhere... Because he isn't slapping on, like, a Groucho Marx eyeglasses, right? He is supposedly shape-shifting into... using a glamour to make himself look like another adult human being, because it can't just be another baby, because if a different talking baby shows up, that's not a good, like, something's up, right? So he disguises himself and goes back to Battis and is like, someone stole my cattle and I'm offering a reward for any news of the stolen cattle. And Battis immediately sells him out. Immediately. Just fully is like, oh yeah, I saw this weird baby. He went that way. Like, go get him. Now, to be fair, I think Battis probably knew that the gods were involved. So if a baby tried to bribe me, a baby that I was pretty sure was a god tried to bribe me, and then an adult who I was pretty sure was a god came by and was like, hey, have you seen a baby that stole cows? I maybe would snitch. Because, like, if the baby is also a god, the adult god might be able to do more damage.
I would try and ask. I think I would ask, hey, are you perchance a god?
You can't.
If the answer is no.
You can just lie. I mean, like, the gods can just lie. And here's the thing, too. If you, here in some cases, if you try to call them on it, they get mad at you. Especially if they are. Because here's the thing, if you're wrong and it's just a guy, no harm, no foul, like, they might be a little flattered even. If it is a god and you catch them, like, if you catch someone shoplifting and they're, like, obviously cramming, like, a TV, like, up their pussy, and you're like, what is going on here? And they're like, I have never been so insulted in my life. As it's, like, falling out. right. So he disguises himself or whatever, goes back. That and is like, hey, I will, and maybe he offers him a better reward. I think that might have been really the selling point, is that he's like, I'll give you a lot more gold if you snitch on him. And Battis is like, yeah, fuck it, I would rather have gold than, like, good crops, I guess. Because Hermes also, he also wasn't for sure that the baby was, like, a god. And to his credit, too, like, Demeter is technically in charge of that. The gods can sort of, like, dole out favors regardless of whether or not it's their specialty, but not if it, like, directly contradicts. Like, if Athena promises you a smooth voyage, a smooth sailing voyage, you shouldn't take that, because Poseidon hates Athena. They don't get along, and, like, that's his domain. So, in fact, if you are allied with Athena, avoiding the ocean is probably smarter because Poseidon hates anybody who likes her. So Battis sells him out, and Hermes supposedly punishes him by turning him into stone. And that's the one death? I don't know if he's an alive, if he's a live stone or dead stone. I don't know if he's conscious stone. Like, he's stone, though. Never met an alive stone. But I've also never stolen cattle from the gods or, you know, turned anybody into stone. So who fucking knows? I also like that's so common, like, getting turned into stone as a punishment. Because that's, like, Medusa's thing, too, but it's in a lot of myths. And I want to know where that originates from. Whether it's, like, people were finding petrified animals or whatever, like, naturally. Or if someone was just, like, looking at a rock and being like, wouldn't it be fucked up? You know how rocks can't move and we can? Wouldn't it be fucked up if we were rocks?
Too many godly bong rips.
Yeah, literally, like, drinking that heavy wine in the fields. So he turns the guy to stone, and now he goes back home, right? Now that's taken care of. All the loose ends are tied up. No witnesses.
Well, except he just walked over to the guy.
Well, but he's stone now.
Yeah, but his footprints are still over there. Like,
he could take a much more circuitous path. Like, that doesn't matter. Because also, like, he could take off the big shoes at any point. So, like, then it would just be little prints. Like, a separate set of smaller prints that you might not think are related.
Or just fucking baby.
Yeah, and it's also probably easier to, like, drag a branch behind you to cover your own tracks, like, for a one single set of baby tracks than it is to, like, cover 50 cow tracks.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. I read a version of this myth where he tied brooms to the cow's tails so they erased their tracks as they walked.
You got broom trails.
Well, it's like a dirt road, so it's just sort of like muddying up the dirt. There isn't really a trail. Right? It's just okay, like...
One thing is, I think maybe, like, babies are constantly discovering new parts of themselves, you know?
Sure.
Like, when babies discover that they have hands, that's
right.
The best thing ever. Yeah. So maybe that whole, like, disguising himself, you know, maybe that was, like, he just figured out, like, oh shit, I can do this. You know?
Or he didn't even, like, think about it, right? Like, he is a baby. Maybe he didn't think to... He might not have thought he needed to disguise himself because no one would see him. So he was just worried about the evidence he would leave behind. And then he was like, oh, there's a dude out here. Oopsie. And so he gets back to his cave and his mother wakes up and is like, I know you've been doing some shit. What have you been up to? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a little baby. All the quotes here from, like, when they write dialogue for this shit are all him being like, I am but a young babe. I don't know what you're talking about. I can barely walk, goo goo gaga.
Baby, you're my mom. Have I told you how much I love you, bong rips, recently? My goal is to try and put as many bong rip references in here so you can't edit them all out.
Are you kidding me? This podcast is 90%. This podcast is sponsored by bong rips. Every time you say the word bong rip, I get 1 cent from Spotify. And his mother is literally like, I don't know what you did. I feel like it's relating to the gods because also, like, Hermes has a goal in all this. We'll find out what that is later, but he's not just, like, causing trouble to cause trouble. He has an end goal here. And, like, that's the difference between him and Loki. Loki will often just cause shit to cause shit. Hermes is less likely to just do shit because he can. That's more Zeus.
Loki likes drama. Hermes is trying to get a foot.
Yeah, Hermes is wheeling and dealing. Loki is like, I wonder what would happen if I dropped this match into a pool of gasoline. He reassures his mother. He's like, it's okay, because I'm going to become the Prince of Thieves, and I'm going to make sure that we get out of this shitty cave, and you are properly honored as the mother of the Prince of Thieves and the piece of Zeus, and we are going to live among the gods on Olympus. Yeah, so his mother hears this and is like, oh, good, so you're fucking with the gods, and they're going to be pissed at you for this. Like, specifically, like, even if you just went out there and fucked with shepherds, that's one thing. Because I'm a nymph, and I could just turn into a tree and, I don't know, hide you in a river or whatever. We've been through this before. But, like, you're fucking with the gods, I can't protect you from them. And he's like, no, it's fine. And he pulls out the lyre and plays it for her. And the music is so beautiful that she, like, relaxes, which is another common thing in Greek myths. Like, Orpheus does this too, where he plays music so beautiful that it makes people react to it.
Isn't that how Hercules got Cerberus to calm down, or is that Harry Potter?
That is how Orpheus got Cerberus to calm down. Hercules gets past Cerberus by putting him in a headlock.
Oh, cool.
Because
he's
Hercules, and he can do that.
Head.
Yes.
Which lock?
Yes. Just kind of like, I think one arm each, and then maybe, I'm picturing him sort of like straddling the middle head. So he's got like, he's doing the, I don't know if there's a name for it, but it's like the, he's wrapping his thighs around their head. Like the leg version of a headlock. Maria says, play free bird, and Hermes starts tearing it up, and she continues to do bong rips. Son's sweet lyre solo.
Play free bird.
Thank you. That's the first time I've made that joke in this story a lot, and nobody appreciates it. So thank you for that.
End of part one.